decade ago, scientists added a snippet of DNA into a salmon. The result was a fish that grew twice as fast as normal. Genetically altered salmon still have not been approved for sale. The Food and Drug Administration and the Agriculture Department don't know yet what companies should have to demonstrate before genetically modified fish or meat may be sold in grocery stores. NPR's David Kestenbaum attended a National Academy of Sciences meeting where such matters were discussed.
Much of this debate can be captured by one dramatic image. Perry Hackett, a geneticist at the University of Minnesota, used this slide in his talk. The top showed pictures of genetically modified rainbow trout that grow unusually large. Below them were trout from a typical stream, looking by comparison like minnows.
It's figures like this that really get people emotionally involved, either with, wow, this is great, or what kind of monsters are you putting out?
Hackett says genetic engineering simply does what nature does, only faster and more precisely.
Are they inherently different types of animals? I personally believe that the answer to that is largely no.
You can get large trout by breeding, he says. You just mate large trout with other large trout. It just takes longer, and you never know exactly what you've changed in the genome, he says. But as soon as Hackett finished, a man with a goatee took the microphone to disagree. Eric Hallerman is a geneticist at Virginia Tech. Hallerman argues that adding a major gene suddenly is very different from breeding larger fish gradually over time. And he asks, what would happen if the fish escaped?
In that case, they just demographically overwhelm the wild stock. If you have a net pen that has 100,000 fish and 15% escape, that's 15,000 fish. The wild run might only be 300 fish.
Local stocks could get edged out or pick up genes from the engineered fish. This is the kind of possibility the National Academy of Sciences has been asked to study. What should the USDA and the FDA consider when giving the okay to genetically modified animals? In some ways, the questions are the same as with genetically modified crops. Does the organism pose a danger to the environment? Is it safe to eat? Up until now, the USDA has basically said, if it looks like a cow, smells like a cow, it is a cow, and you can eat it. Genetic engineering of animals also raises one question that does not come up with plants. Is it a fair thing to do? No one worries how genetically modified corn feels, but is a jumbo trout or a modified chicken being denied a certain standard of living? Paul Thompson, a philosopher at Purdue University, discussed what might be called the blind chicken problem.
There's a strain of chickens that are blind, and this was not produced through biotechnology. It was actually an accident that got developed into a particular strain of chickens. Now, blind chickens, it turns out, don't mind being crowded together so much as normal chickens do. And so one suggestion is that, well, we ought to shift over to all blind chickens as a solution to our animal welfare problems that are associated with crowding in the poultry industry. Is this permissible on animal welfare grounds? Here we have what I think is a real philosophical conundrum. If you think that it's the welfare of the individual animal that really matters here, how the animals are doing, then it would be more humane to have these blind chickens. On the other hand, almost everybody that you ask thinks that this is an absolutely horrendous thing to do.
The National Academy has been asked to address these questions scientifically. The meeting showed how hard it was to untangle numbers from beliefs. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.